You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On September 29th, BC's Auditor General John Doyle released his annual report on the provincial government's financial accounting. Doyle cited the BC government for a range of bookkeeping errors and concluded by issuing a qualified audit report on what he found. Qualification, in accounting parlance, means that in one key respect, the information is not auditable or is misleading. The matter that provoked his decision to put this qualification on the books is the government's insistence on treating the Portman Bridge project as a self-supporting enterprise. Eric Doherty is an activist with StopThePave.org, and he's joined me in the studio this morning. Hello, Eric.
Good morning.
Now, what did the Liberal government do with the accounting around the Portman that John Doyle doesn't like?
What they've done is they've just pretended that there's no risk that the toll revenue will not pay for this bridge. It's a $3.1 billion project that is actually, the bridge of it is only one short piece, but it's the most expensive part. The tolls on the bridge are supposed to pay for the whole freeway expansion project, which is $3.1 billion. And given recent history with the corporation that was involved in doing this, the Macquarie Group, Macquarie is well known in Australia and around the world for having some of the most disastrous P3 freeway failures. These are toll freeways. And some of them have been such that they've been record-breaking failures financially. And what the Macquarie Group has done is that with almost all of these, like the subprime mortgages, they flipped these investments off onto unsuspecting or colluding fund managers, people that are trying to take care of people's pensions. And so what it really seems like Macquarie has been doing something that a lot of ordinary people would think you should be going to jail for.
And so the Portman is a P3 in the government, a public-private partnership, and the government's in partnership with Macquarie over the build?
Well, that's complicated.
Okay.
It was set up as a P3, but Macquarie, as they were doing this, Macquarie's failure started to make the business headlines, and there was a great financial crisis. So they couldn't flip off the shares in this project. And there was no way they were going to do it themselves because, they started to figure out internally that this is not likely to be a profit-making enterprise. So what they did is they got the government to take 100% of the risk. So instead of flipping it off to, you know, say a private sector pension fund, it's you and I who are footing the full bill if this project falls far short on the revenue side, which is what it's actually fairly likely to do given the track record of similar projects in the U.S., Australia, Europe, around the world.
So in terms of the accounting that John Doyle was talking about, then the Portman is just not showing up on the books at all?
It's like it's a private company that the government just has some interest in, and so it's not showing up in the debt that you and I are responsible. But it is, in fact, debt, and there's a very high risk that this money is going to be coming out of general revenues. It's going to be coming out of money that could be going to schools and hospitals, affordable housing, all the things that people really need.
So this is $3.3 billion in debt that has sort of magically disappeared from the BC deficit then?
Yeah, it's $3.1, I think, at the present rate. But who knows? All this stuff is behind closed doors. So it could easily be, somewhere in that range.
And then the amount of money that they have projected that they're going to get from the Portman Bridge, What's standing in the way of them getting that? Why are they not going to be able to get that?
They're not going to be able to get that in all likelihood because, first of all, in the long term, the age of cheap oil is over. These toll revenues were based on the good old days when oil was cheap and the price was stable. And anybody who drives a car now, or even worse, a minivan, knows that those days are just gone. And partly because of this this huge change in the global economics, we're dealing with a situation where the kind of rampant suburban sprawl that we saw in previous decades, it's very unlikely to happen.
Which is what the Portman needs to be a success with those tolls. Is that it?
They need suburban sprawl, people being dependent on their cars, but they also need people with enough money in their pocket to pay for the tolls, and they also need in these days, in the present reality, they need to have those people forced to drive. They need to have poor public transit, so that those people won't decide to take the bus 3 or 4 days a week instead of driving to save money on the tolls and the gas.
So not only do we have a debt that's not showing up on the public books, but we also have a projection about toll money that's going to come in that is completely unrealistic.
Well, it's very dubious. I can't dig into the how realistic it is. All I can do is say that the track record of the company who did the toll projections, who put the financing together, is absolutely appalling.
Now, we do have a new toll bridge in the Lower Mainland. We have the Golden Ears Bridge. What's showing up from that project?
That project this year is $33 million in the red. So that's a TransLink bridge. So what that means is that $33 million that could be going to improving our public transit system or building bike routes or all these things that we need to do to deal with the end of cheap oil and climate change, there's $33 million that's going to subsidize a new freeway bridge. It's kind of the craziest thing because now TransLink, our transit agency, has an incentive to make sure that the transit in that area between Langley and Surrey and Maple Ridge, to make sure the transit is bad so that people will drive instead of taking transit and so that they can get the toll revenue to pay for this massive, it's $1 billion bridge. And it's the kind of crazy decisions that are only made when the very rich are in charge of the situation, when the 1%, as the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Everywhere groups are starting to talk about. It's this kind of decision making would not happen if ordinary people were involved in what happens in our society and allowed to sit down and consider the big changes that we're dealing with. That kind of craziness just wouldn't happen.
Now, you're very much involved in Occupy Vancouver, and it's very nice that you've been able to come down to talk to us this morning, but I know that now you're going to shoot off to the art gallery.
What happened in Madison, Wisconsin, is that the square that they met in, which had some nondescript name, they've renamed it Freedom Square. So I'm just unofficially starting to call the square where we're occupying Freedom Square after Tahrir Square in Egypt. And there's already over 75 people there. People are setting up their tents. And the one thing I want to emphasize, because I think everybody has kind of heard about the Occupy movement and what's going on Wall Street, is that the crucial point here is not how many people show up today, it's how many people are still there on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and how many people are still there once it starts to rain and gets a little bit colder. So I'm putting a call out for people to think about coming down today, enjoying today, but thinking about when they can come back and how they can support this movement. Because I think it really is, the focus is on inequality of income, but it's also got to be of inequality of power and getting people's power back so that we don't see these kinds of really criminal decisions like, you know, like the decisions that are being made to continue expanding freeways when we're dealing with the climate crisis and we're dealing with the end of cheap oil. It's just ludicrous direction for our society. And that's only happening because the 1% are driving the decisions in our society.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with the transportation and environmental planner, Eric Doherty. Eric is an activist with StopThePave.org.